Welcome to Lax Live Radio on the Lacrosse Radio Network. This is Marissa and Jemmy here from InLacrosseWeTrust.com with this week's podcast. Back on the grind here on Lax Live Radio, even though it's not really live, we're keeping the brand name going. A lot of cool stuff going on the network this week. Saturday night, we have the Continental Indoor Lacrosse League Championship with the CILL Cup. Chicago Outlaws taking on the winner of the Pittsburgh Octane and the Grand Rapids Dragonfish. By the time this podcast is posted, that game might have happened by now. I'm not sure yet. We're recording this Friday night here. But, so that's going on. And Tuesday night, we'll have both games from the Baltimore Indoor Lacrosse League. We've been doing a lot of close work with the BILL, Larry Filla over there. So we're going to be a big part of the BILL. In coming weeks, too, we'll be having player interviews and a weekly feature on this half-hour program. So that will be kind of cool. Watch for that. We'll be starting that next week, hopefully. I've been doing the press releases for the league. I'm sure you've seen them on InLacrosseWeTrust.com. So while we're on that American Indoor Lacrosse League track, we're going to have Nick DeRogier from the United States Lacrosse League on tonight. So that's going to be really interesting because I know you people, you want to hear about the USLL. I get the messages, I get the tweets, I get the emails. I know you people want to hear about it. I try to keep you updated. There hasn't been too much traction going on, so hopefully Nick can give us some information tonight about what the deal really is, because as we all know, some of these leagues haven't worked out as planned. We don't know what the USLL is. There have been connections to the PLL with the New Jersey Rascals. I used to be doing this countdown, but I can't remember now. It's been over 300 days, I believe, maybe a little bit under 300 days since the last announcement in either late November or early December. That was about the main Moose Tracks. But they wanted a season to start in January last I checked, so we'll ask Nick about it and we'll find out what the deal is. He's coming up next right after this quick break and messages from lacrosse players telling you to listen to our network. That's our commercials right now. So we'll be right back.
This is Nick Rose of the Toronto Rock, and you're listening to the Lacrosse Radio Network.
Back here on Lax Live Radio on the Lacrosse Radio Network. Joining me now from the United States Lacrosse League is Nick DeRogier. And Nick, first question I have for you is, what is the state of the league right now?
Well, right now we're in the same state that we've kind of been in since we announced in November of 2013. Things just take time. You know, we've been putting forth a good effort, and we've got the same plan we had then. We're picking up some steam, picking up some good corporate partners, as well as, finalizing our roster of first two teams, which is always obviously the hardest part of putting a league together. As Nick has, we have good ownership groups and good markets and good venue deals, and when you put it all together, that's what gives you your product.
When is this first season projected to start? Because originally it was supposed to be fall 2014, and obviously that's not the case right now. So are you projecting for a January start time or any time later after that?
It's been discussed between the league staff and various team representatives, both for teams that are currently signed on and a couple of the teams that we're still working with on finalizing certain agreements, that we would play the first year in the winter.
What are the teams that are set as of now? I know New Jersey's been announced, as well as the Maine Moose Tracks.
Right now, those are the only two that have been publicly announced. I will tell you that we have a third fully under contract with the league, and we're finalizing the fourth as we speak, and that's in Arizona right now to do that with the owner of the team.
How are you planning on bringing in players? Because we saw the North American Lacrosse League and the PLL doing drafts and combines and stuff like that. They went with collegiate drafts and veteran players. How is the league going to handle this?
We're going to do a couple different things. First, obviously, in most new leagues, we need to get familiar with the players that are out there currently that have been there and done that. So we're going to handle that by putting together a free agent scouting combine. Much like you would see in a professional football league, arena football, or Canadian football league. Something where we can get out there and see the guys who are actively available, the guys who stay in shape, and the guys who have some years under their belt.
What's the approach? Oh, sorry. I'm just wondering what the approach is going to be with Canadian players, because that's something that's been under debate.
Yeah, that's always a tough question to answer. To be quite honest, that's not something that we've really thought of. You know, obviously, our memo is to go out there and develop American players. Whether that means that, each team is limited to a certain number of Canadians, so the Canadian players that are allowed to play have to reside here in the U.S. in good legal working standards. So it's complicated. It's a hard question to answer. That's not a number that we've really buttoned down yet. With us putting together our fourth team now, that's something that I expect to have an answer for you in the coming weeks.
There's something interesting about the league. It seems like so far with the people you've announced that are in the league, they've been involved in other sports. Is the approach to go with people and executives involved in other sports over lacrosse people?
Well, I think there's a fair balance. We are talking to some very qualified lacrosse people, mainly to come in as general manager types for individual teams and director of lacrosse operations, which, as you know, we're still interviewing for. But for the executive leadership of the league, the people who are putting together the business structure, we felt a value to us at an early stage to surround ourselves with people who've been there and done that at all levels.
And I know you can't really say the teams as of now, but what's the target market you're looking for? Are you looking for more Northeast teams, the entire East Coast, Midwest? Just what's the general approach?
Well, right now I will tell you that right now our market is between Portland, Maine, and Baltimore. So that's where we've been strategically looking for year one. Obviously, heading into year two and year three, we plan on growing our brand, and obviously as the talent pool gets stronger, we'll be able to go out there and add more teams by demand.
Is there any concern about previous association with leagues like the North American Lacrosse League and a Professional Lacrosse League? Because the New Jersey Rascals were a part of the PLL and people do associate it with that. Plus some of these markets such as, you mentioned between Portland and Baltimore. I mean, cities like Boston and Baltimore have had teams leave now. So is there any concern about there being any problems trying to bring fans back into those markets?
Well, I don't really think that there would be a hard time to put it out. Because the way that we're marketing games and our marketing campaign structure is a lot different than what it was with the other two leagues. We have set rules, regulations, and guidelines that kind of give teams what they need for a front office staff, a dedicated staff for sales, marketing, and community outreach programs. Whereas a lot of the other leagues really didn't have that. So I feel like we're going to touch some of those holdovers, the fans that, were with the Baltimore Bombers or, the Boston team, and, they're looking to go to the next closest thing. But I think we're going to open up a whole new level of fan base that really hasn't been active in this yet.
And with those other two leagues failing and getting a lot of press because of that, what makes you think that American indoor lacrosse is ready right now? You were involved in a PLL, so you saw firsthand what was really going on. So what do you think, first of all, the USLL can do differently that will make the league succeed more than those other two? And why do you think there are so many American lacrosse league startups?
Well, I think there's a lot of startup because I think people see that there is a tremendous opportunity, not only from a business standpoint, but, in providing an opportunity for that next level of play, for players. The outdoor game is a wonderful game, but there's a lot of entertainment to be had in the indoor game. And, for years, there's been a group that's been completely against indoor football, but there's also been 2.5 million fans that show up every year to see indoor football. So I think there's a fine line that's there, and I think there's enough players that want to play both. And I think that, the more we expose people to the indoor game, I think people would like to see more of that. It's fast, it's hard-hitting, it's exciting. It's something that you can sell to any fan of any type of sport.
because the league was initially announced to start around this time of year, what has been the delay and the setbacks that have caused the league to be pushed back to the winter?
Well, I think I've said this before, Marissa. It comes down to a lot of variables that you really can't pinpoint. You know, obviously there was 2 weeks before this, so you count three if you want to say that there was an NALL1 and an NALL2. But, you know, there was a couple other weeks which puts a lot of doubt in a lot of people's minds initially. If you get past that first. Secondly, you know, we're pitching a different type of investor. You know, our investors, we have a very strong vetting process where we go in, we take a certain amount of personal financial history, if you want to say, and we go through it and make sure these people are adequate operators, not only from, you know, fiduciary responsibility, but they also have the, you know, the care, the character. They want to start something fresh, and they're going to stick to it. You know, obviously these things don't happen in 1 year like people want them to. These things take 2, 3, 4, 5, you know, 6, even 10 years to really fully mature to the point where you have, you know, a product that you can really judge.
I'm just wondering, what is the situation right now with the team in Portland, Maine? Because after it was announced they were playing, I believe it was the Portland Civic Center, a report came out from a Portland newspaper denying that there was a lease with that stadium, and nothing's really come out since. So can you let us know what the state of that team is and if you have any idea of where they will be playing?
Well, we are told that we could play at both Lewiston or Portland. We haven't finalized anything yet, although the numbers have been negotiated and passed back and forth. For the main purpose of, you know, these guys really wanted to see that we had four teams before, you know, giving away money like we did at Trenton. You know, when we were at the PLL, we gave money to the arena that to this day we can't get back. You know, so they wanted to make sure that everybody's in, and, you know, now we're getting back. Which is also a nice thing, too, because in that time frame, you know, the Portland Pirates, they ended up moving from Lewiston back to, you know, downtown Portland at the Civic Center. And I think that gives a lot of power and a lot of leverage to a secondary team coming in where, you know, we're only playing between, you know, 7 and 9 home games in year one. And so I think that gives you a lot of negotiating power now that they have a permanent tenant.
You just mentioned 7 to 9 home games for a team. What is that projected schedule? How long do you think a season will last, assuming it starts in around early to mid-January?
Correct. You know, the number of games, actual versus number of games that include, you know, preseason, exhibition, or playoffs, it's going to range between those numbers for year one. Just, you know, obviously, as any league, you got to get through year one, and that's up preparing for year two. Our ultimate goal, as we stated when we first started this, is we'd like to get it closer to a hockey type schedule. You know, that these players play year round anyway. They play between MLL, NLL, you know, NALL, and PLL. So, you know, teams abroad or in Canada or, you know, pickup leagues. You know, there's an opportunity for more games within a designated time period.
And this last question here now, what can fans expect to see as far as any upcoming announcements, and when will we hear more about the league publicly?
Well, you know, obviously, you know, we tried to pinpoint this before, and, you know, there's been some confusion a couple different times. You know, we may have prematurely passed, and, you know, we should have someone miss it. You know, it's such a hard thing to predict, but, you know, I feel pretty good right now myself. You know, corporate partners and the team that we're finalizing now, that, you know, between the next 2 and 3 weeks, we'll have some news. And that news we expect to be positive.
That was Nick DeRogier talking about the United States Lacrosse League, and that's a couple interesting points here now. The season starting in January, that's a good thing. Let's see some announcements. It's getting close. It's almost October now, so I'm hoping that gets announced soon if we want this to happen. Concerns include the Canadian player situation. I want to make it clear, too, nothing against Canadian players. I really like a lot of them, and I know a lot of Canadian players have played in the North American Lacrosse League and the PLL, and, of course, in the NLL. But the deal is, there are Canadian leagues, there's Major Series Lacrosse, the Western Lacrosse Association, Quebec Senior Lacrosse League, the Can-Am League, Ontario Senior B, British Columbia Senior B, the various junior leagues, Three Nations Lacrosse League. There's a few more in there too, I'm sure. Oh, the Canadian Lacrosse League, which actually plays in January, which is basically a practice squad league now for the NLL, which is good, by the way. But there needs to be a league for American players to get developed, and I thought we had that before, but we didn't. So if this can become that now, positive. There's a few ways they could get away with Canadian players. I just hope they don't mess up the goalies, because that's the one thing that people seem to mess up with a lot. Just saying. But if you have any questions about the USLL, feel free to message me about that or tweet to me. My Twitter handle is @Marissa_NJemmy. Marissa is MARISA, and Jemmy is INGEMI. Or just leave a comment on the website, or there's an email there, info@inlacrossewetrust.com. Scroll down to the page, and you can email me, and I pretty much get back to everything, unless it's a weird question. Those do happen. But just make sure you get in your question about USLL and tweet @LacrosseWeTrust, because in Lacrosse We Trust they didn't allow with a Twitter handle, so it's Lacrosse We Trust. Just getting off of the USLL subject now, there is other news in lacrosse. Last week we interviewed Terry Sanderson, and that was good. He was pretty much right, saying Toronto wasn't doing anything. I did my draft grades earlier in the week. Toronto I gave a C, and that's not because they did bad, it's because they didn't have any picks. And also, they've made so many moves this offseason. They got Brody Merrill, Brock Sorensen, and Jeff Gilbert, we talked about it last week. They didn't really need many picks. They pretty much built that roster. Brandon Benn was a good pick, but I have to say, guys like him and Mark Cockerdin, who went to New England, I worry a little bit over the fact they haven't played box lacrosse in a long time. So I would keep my eye on those two players. But starting at the top with draft grades, I'm just going to go over these. If you want to read the whole thing, go to inlacrossewetrust.com. We have a little trending stories section on the right side of the page, and that will show you the most read. This is the most read story in the past, like, 48 hours, I think, it tracks, so you'll see that. Top grades are New England, Minnesota. New England, just because they had a million picks and they knew what to do with them. They did. Philadelphia Wings fans have to be mad right now, because if the Wings ever drafted like this, they would have been a contending team. But New England found a way to get Mark Cockerham the first pick. Then they traded for another first-round pick, and they got Quinn Pallas, who is coming off of an amazing season with the Six Nations Arrows, where he won a Minto Cup. They got Ty Thompson, who, he's one of the Thompsons, you know who he is. He's going to be on that team. They got Sheldon Burns, which, that was a good pick. Sheldon Burns really dropped in draft. I don't think anyone expected him to fall that far, but he was my number 8 prospect overall and second defenseman. Though the mock drafts, just don't read lacrosse mock drafts. None of them are right ever, because teams in lacrosse draft weird. It's not like football or hockey or like basketball or sports like that. These teams are drafting for their own purposes. You're drafting players local. Remember last year, Minnesota drafted Nick Jonas, who never played. They drafted him because he played in Minnesota. Rochester drafted Brandon Stiers, the last overall pick, because he's Kurt Stiers' kid. But this back to New England. I like New England's roster. It's going to be contending. I think they're better than they were before. I worry a little bit about the left side of the offense. Kevin Buchanan's back, and that's nice. Jamie Lincoln and Pat Saunders are good players, but Garrett Sewell isn't going to be in the mix. So that means two guys, Lincoln and Saunders, who are both role players, I feel safe saying. Maybe Saunders might elevate his game a little bit more. Are your number 2 and number 3 on a depth chart at the left forward. Brendan Mundorf might come back. If that's the case, that elevates that game a lot. But then you have Cockerton, Josh Johnson, and Ty Thompson, all rookies. Right forward, I like. You have Kevin Crowley, Brett Bucktooth, Kyle Buchanan. If Ryan Ward returns, then you're solid. And you just traded for Jake Hart, and you have Mike Burke now, too. They traded for Mike McNamara, too, which was a nice pick. And so New England, they had an overall good day. Minnesota didn't have their crazy prospects like they, or draft picks like they did before, but they got Miles Thompson and Shane McDonald, both nice picks. Rochester and Colorado had good pit drafts. Rochester went crazy and traded Johnny Paulus, basically for Jeremy Noble. So I'm wondering how well Jeremy Noble is going to stack up, because you just traded a guy like Paulus. So you traded Noble for Paulus, so I wonder how that's going to go. Ian Martin, a nice pick, too. Colorado did well. They drafted a goalie, which is kind of weird. But Edmonton did the same thing, by the way. What's with Edmonton taking two goalies? My guess is they don't trust Tyler Carlson. He is a restricted free agent. They haven't actually signed Carlson yet, so I'm wondering, well, they probably will, because teams basically just sign their guys most of the time, unless somebody like Bucks who's going to New England or Gilbert in Toronto, but I don't know what Edmonton's going to do. I mean, Aaron Bold's their starter. Adam Schutt was the second-ranked goalie right behind Alexis Bouquet, but I believe, actually, Schutt went earlier than Bouquet did, so he might actually see playing time. Colorado also took Zach Rogers. Interesting note, he's from Los Angeles, so that's kind of cool, a Bakla guy from L.A. Buffalo had the weirdest draft ever. They pulled like a Philadelphia with the draft. They drafted all lefties, which is kind of weird. In fact, next clip after his next commercial break is going to be Troy Cordingley, Dan Pattison, Buffalo Bandit speechwriter for In Lacrosse We Trust with At the Draft, on with Pat Gregor. And Pat's doing some great stuff with, we might have some of those audio clips later on in the show as well, from his interviews of draft prospects. But Pattison and Ryan Zunner from Laxter together interviewed Troy accordingly, so we'll have that audio momentarily. I don't think they asked about this, but Buffalo drafted all lefties. They got Mike Melchenko pretty late, so that was a good pick. But they drafted Brandon Goodwin like 11th overall, and that was kind of weird, because they traded Rory Smith to Vancouver, along with Eric Penny, goaltender, who, by the way, probably will be the backup in Vancouver. Matt Roykin isn't going to be. But they picked Goodwin with that pick, and I just feel like Goodwin would have been there in the third round or second round. But maybe they knew something we didn't, and they really wanted him. Anyways, I like Goodwin, but that just seemed like a weird pick. But, so they got all lefties, so I'm wondering, Sean Williams probably might not return if that's the case. They already announced John Tavares is, so what's with all the lefties? Unless they just don't expect any of them to break camp. And if that's the case, but they must expect Goodwin, because otherwise why would they be giving up Rory Smith? Unless it's a case where he asked to be traded. This happens in this league. Just looking at Calgary and Vancouver now. Calgary did okay. I'm worried about their defense because I don't know if Andrew McBride is returning. When I talked to Mike Board, a Calgary GM, 2 weeks ago now, he said they're still negotiating. Same with Scott Ranger, but to talk out there if Scott Ranger might be retiring. So I don't know what's going on with McBride. If he doesn't come back, they're in trouble. I think that's why they drafted Tyson Rowe, who's like 8 feet tall. No, he's only 6'10". Vancouver drafted two guys early, Conrad Chapman and Brendan Cullen. But Dan Keen, Matt Delmonico, both good late picks. So I like Vancouver's draft. I like it better that they got Johnny Paulus, though, so that's nice. And they also got Rory Smith. They improved that team on draft day just without picks. But we're going to go to break. We'll come back and we'll have the Troy Cordingley interview, and after that, we'll wrap it up.
This is Curtis Knight of the Edmonton Rush, and you are listening to the Lacrosse Radio Network.
Okay, how you doing, Coach? How you doing?
I'm okay. How are you?
Doing well. How would you evaluate your draft situation this year? What were you looking for?
We were looking to improve on our left-hand side offensively. So I thought Chugger did a real good job at preparing for the draft and getting the guys that we wanted. We were presented with an offer today we lost two real good guys from our team last year and Steve Penny and Rory Smith. But you have to lose some good guys to gain some good stuff. And we have Nick Wace coming in who very talented defensive player. And we picked four kids that are going to battle out for a left-handed spot. So I think we addressed it.
What really made Brandon Goodwin stand out for you guys to trade up for him?
Brandon Goodwin, we've been watching him for a while, and the thing that stands out for him is he can play offense without the ball. He's a guy that's going to create space for guys like JT And you know, we're glad to have him because we just need a little bit more size on that side, and he's one of those guys that is capable of doing that.
You know, with picking up Ferreira, Bennett, a couple of Brampton guys, very interchangeable players. Noticing guys like Mitch Wild last year playing both sides of the ball, do you see possibly down the road two of those players being those style of players for you guys?
Yeah, those are the style. I mean, this is the way the league's going, right? It's a fast league, and there's lots of transition, and you want guys to be able to play in both ends, and both those guys can do that. So that's why they were high on our list, and we like the, you know, the way they play, and with Ferrari, he can play without the ball. I mean, he's a big lefty, and you know, he can create space and things like that. So, you know, that's why we chose those guys.
Who do you think will take over the role that Rory Smith had last year coming into the season?
What role is that?
You know, gritty physical defender.
Yeah, and Nick Weiss is a very similar style player as Rory, but you know, we have a lot of, and that's what, you know, made our decision. That we could afford to move Rory was we have a lot of toughness. Steve Priolo, Billy B. Smith, you know, the list goes on. And you know, that's why we made the decision.
Going off Steve Priolo, you know, he started out as being a, you know, a gritty style player, but he's really come into himself more, you know, being nominated for Defender of the Year. How's it been to, you know, help his development coming along, becoming one of the better defenders in the league?
Well, I mean, that all falls on Steve. He has to be more than just a fighter to play in this league, and you know, everybody knows that he can handle himself. So he's taken upon himself to make himself a better player, and you know, he's listened to his coaches and his teammates, and done what he has to do off the floor, and that's why he's improved so much. And you know, he's a student of the game, and he's just a real good team guy.
Perfect. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
Thanks. You too. Take care.
Back here on LAX Live Radio on the La Crosse Radio Network, wrapping things up. We have the broadcast of the Chicago Outlaws game, championship game, tonight on La Crosse Radio Network at 8 p.m. Pre-game show at 7 p.m. with Brian Snow. So you're going to want to tune in. We'll have a big slide up on the main site slider, and just click on the audio tab. There'll be a link there to the Spreaker page at Arena Sports Network, who we partnered with for the broadcast. But just going to wrap up with some headlines from Friday night, because that's when we're recording this. John Algie stepped down from the Ohio Machine. He was their team president and general manager. Bear Davis, who was named vice president recently, and he's the head coach, he'll assume responsibility for the lacrosse operations. Best of luck to John Algie. He's a good guy. I remember interviewing him like 3 years ago at the MLL draft, back when Ohio was a new team. So best of luck to John. That Ohio organization's up and coming. They're going to be good this year. Bear Davis is a great coach, great lacrosse guy. One more note here. The Roughnecks extended Carson Leung to a one-year deal. You see deals like this a lot in lacrosse. Something interesting from this week was Dylan Ward signing a five-year deal. Colorado really locking up that goalie, which is even weirder that they drafted Buchanan out, unless they just, I don't know why they drafted him, unless they want him on the practice squad. It seems like teams want third goalies more, and they have Ty Belanger, but I don't know what his future is. Just going over a couple more transactions. Edmonton made two moves. They signed Riley Lowen, who was a rookie last year, to a two-year deal, and they signed Ben Snyder to a one-year deal. They drafted last year defenseman. He didn't make that team. And New England signed Jamie Lincoln to a one-year deal. They have traded for him for Kyle Belton to Vancouver. And they also signed Joel White, transition player. Also want to send a note to Bill McGlone, get well soon. If you want to see the situation with him, go on our Twitter. We have a little mention of that. But get well soon to Bill McGlone from a Philadelphia wing and Boston Cannon. We're going to wrap things up here on LAX Live Radio. Get ready tonight for some CIL action. Get ready for the Baltimore Indoor Lacrosse League coming to the Lacrosse Radio Network. Thanks to Tom Wilms, who's going to be doing that broadcast. If you don't know what the BILL is, it's an Indoor Lacrosse League in Baltimore. Guys like Will Harrington from the Ohio Machine, Jordan Hall, who was traded from New England to the Rochester Nighthawks again this weekend. He's on one of the teams. A lot of players who played in an all in the PLL. So you're going to want to check that out. Here's some good lacrosse on radio. One of the better amateur indoor leagues out there. So check that out. It's Tuesday night. Game at 7 p.m. and 8:30 or as soon as the 7 p.m. game ends. So that's the audio content for this week on the Lacrosse Radio Network. Read in lacrossewetrust.com for the most news and analysis on the game. We have more protected roster analysis from Major League Lacrosse, and we also will have some more NLL draft analysis this week. Prospect profiles from Pat Gregor coming, and more BILL stuff, CILL season recaps. And NLL training camp, it's coming. It's less than 2 months away now, I'm going to say. So that should be fun. New England's having their camp in mid-November. I'm assuming all the other camps are around the same. But keep your eye on training camps. They're going to be interesting with the shortened rosters and these rookies once again. But I'm going to stop talking now. Thanks for listening to the Lacrosse Radio Network.